This is tape number 2 in a series of tapes concerning Acts chapter 2, a study in Acts chapter 2. Our purpose in looking at Acts chapter 2 is to study the chapter in the light of the doctrine of the cross of Paul. The general teaching of Acts chapter 2 is that it concerns the beginning of the church, which is the body of Christ. The teaching of the Apostle Paul proves that that is not true, that the mystery, which is the body of Christ, could not have been there in Acts chapter 2. And last week in our discussion, we were trying to get some foreground, some basis for our study. And we're still going to be doing the same thing this week. And we're going to be discussing Acts chapter 1. Would you turn there in Acts chapter 1? Acts 1, verse 1. The former treatise of our made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach. Then this book is a continuation of that which Jesus Christ did and what he taught. The first part of it would be in the book of Luke. Luke concerns that which Jesus Christ did in his earthly ministry. Acts concerns that which he did through the apostles that he had chosen. There are several men in the Bible, I think of three right now, that you'd find the same type thing happening to. That is, they had ministries that began upon the earth, and then those ministries were interrupted by them being carried up to heaven, and someone else carried on the ministry after they were gone. For instance, there is Moses. Moses had a ministry to perform, but before he finished that ministry, Moses died, according to the book of Deuteronomy, and he was carried up into heaven, or so it seems, according to the book of Jude. I believe it'll be Jude about verse 9, along in there somewhere. And then after his carrying up into heaven, that ministry was carried on by another man, Joshua. Joshua performed the ministry of Moses after he's carried up into heaven. Then notice Elijah. Elijah had a ministry. That ministry has to do with calling Israel to repentance in a time of apostasy. But he never completed this ministry. He goes by a place where Elisha is plowing with a yoke of oxen, and he throws his mantle over Elisha, and Elisha stopped him and said, "Wait for me." He took out the oxen and went and followed Elijah. And he's told by the Lord that if he sees Elijah when he goes up into heaven, that he'll have a double portion of that power that he had. And so he followed Elijah everywhere that he went. Finally, they go across the Jordan River, and he follows him across there. And they get over there, and he watches Elijah as he's carried up by the whirlwind into heaven. He picks up the mantle, and he carries on the ministry that Elijah had after Elijah's gone. Then there's the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ had a ministry, and that ministry, he's teaching 12 apostles. That ministry has to do with calling Israel unto repentance. And he carries on that ministry, which you'll see in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And then he dies, and he's carried up into heaven. After he goes up into heaven, those that he taught during that 3 to 3.5 year period carry on his ministry in the book of Acts. So the book of Acts is that which Jesus Christ continued to do through the apostles that he had chosen. And it's rightly termed the book of Acts. It's rightly called the book of the Acts of the Apostles, because it is the Acts of the Apostles. It's the Lord working through the apostles. Verse 2, Acts 1, verse 2, until the day in which he was taken up, after that he through the Holy Ghost had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen. Please observe the emphasis being upon the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, you have heard of me. And I'm putting the emphasis upon these apostles because they were the only ones that are involved here. Verse 5, for John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. Who would be baptized with the Holy Ghost? You. To whom is he speaking? Verse 2, the apostles whom he had chosen. Verse 6, when they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father put in his own power, but you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. There can be no mistaking about this. It is the 12 to whom he is speaking. It is not 11 either, as some people term. It is 12. Notice in Acts chapter 1, verse 15, and in those days Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples and said, the number of names together, about 120, men and brethren, this scripture must needs have been fulfilled, which the Holy Ghost by the mouth of David spake before concerning Judas, which was guide to them that took Jesus, for he was numbered with us, and obtained part of this ministry. Now this man, a reference to Judas, purchased a field with the reward of iniquity. Falling headlong, he burst asunder in the midst, and all his bowels gushed out. And it was known unto all the dwellers at Jerusalem, inasmuch as that field is called in their proper tongue, Akhtalama, that is to say, the field of blood. For it is written in the book of Psalms, let his habitation be desolate, let no man dwell therein, and his bishopric let another take. Wherefore, and notice the qualifications here, wherefore of these men, which accompanied with us all the time that Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John, unto that same day that he was taken up from us, must one be ordained to be a witness with us of his resurrection. And compare, before we leave that passage, verse 22, compare John chapter 15. John 15, and notice John 15, verse 26. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me, and you also shall bear witness, because you've been with me from the beginning. Now please observe, he's in the upper room. It is after Judas Iscariot has gone out of the room. Judas Iscariot is not in the room anymore. He leaves there in chapter 13. Check it, please. In chapter 13, verse 27, 28, 29, and 30. But no doubt about it, he isn't there anymore. And yet Jesus Christ is talking to somebody there that is referred to in Acts chapter 1 as having been with them from the beginning, from the baptism of John, and that person is to be a witness of the resurrection of Christ. Well, in John chapter 15, verse 26, Jesus said, but when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me, and you also shall bear witness, because you've been with me from the beginning. Well, there's somebody in that crowd that isn't named back there that has been with Jesus from the beginning, which has to do with the baptism of John, and he's with them all the way until the time he's taken up, according to Acts chapter 1, verse 22. Now, there are two people involved. Acts 1, verse 23, and they appointed two. Joseph called Barsabbas, who was surnamed Justice, and Matthias, and they prayed and said, Thou, Lord, which knoweth the hearts of all men, show whether of these two thou hast chosen. Please notice the past tense. They are not trying to select an apostle. They are not rolling high dice for a man here, as some have tried to make out that the passage is saying. They are not choosing anyone for God. They want to know which one of these men God already has chosen. Verse 25, that he may take part of this ministry and apostleship, from which Judas by transgression fell, that he might go to his own place, and they gave forth their lots, and the lot fell upon Matthias, and he was numbered with the 11 apostles. Please observe that Matthias is with the 11. Now 1 plus 11 makes 12. It was when I went to school, and I assume that it still does, but that isn't all. In chapter 2, verse 1, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. Well, for crying out loud, who are they? It's Matthias and the 11. The context doesn't change. But that isn't all. Go to chapter 2, verse 14. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice. Well, Peter and 11 make 12. Matthias and 11 make 12. There are 12 in Acts 1:26. There are 12 in Acts 2, verse 14. Why would anybody want to imply in any way, shape, form, or fashion that there are only 11 when the very testimony of the Spirit of God is that there are 12? And as if that wasn't enough, the testimony of the Lord himself, back in John chapter 15, verse 26 through 27, that there are 12, but that isn't all. Go back to Matthew, please, and notice in Matthew chapter 19. In Matthew chapter 19, verse 27. Matthew 19, 27. Then answered Peter and said unto him, Behold, we have forsaken all and followed thee. What shall we have therefore? And Jesus said unto them, Verily I say unto you, that you which have followed me, in the regeneration when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory, has to do with his second coming, see Matthew chapter 25, verse 31, you also shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Who is going to sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel? The 12 apostles. How about Judas Iscariot? Obviously not. Well, then there has to be 12 there besides Judas Iscariot. And one of those 12 is somebody that was with Jesus Christ from his baptism and took part of that ministry, stayed with him until he was taken up into heaven. Which one is that? Well, the Spirit of God identifies that one as Matthias in Acts chapter 1, verse 24, 23 through 26. There is no doubt about it. Matthias is the 12th apostle, not the apostle Paul. Of course, there's a great shuffling of scripture to try to get the apostle Paul under the great commission of Matthew chapter 28 and make it be so that Paul worked under that great commission so that the church today can go under that great commission. And of course, all Baptist preachers want that to be. And the issue is not, does the Bible show that to be clearly the truth? The issue is that to keep things going straight the way they are now in the churches, and to keep the money coming in, and to keep the people beating the pathway to the door and whatever, you got to do it that way. And therefore, as a rule, I've found that Baptist preachers are not too concerned about what the Bible says about it, unless the Bible says that which they doctrinally already teach. In other words, if I could prove that the doctrine is right, then they'll go along with it. If I can prove the doctrine is wrong, then they'll fight against it. And I'm not saying this just to criticize Baptists. I've been a Baptist all my life. I was raised in a Baptist church, and there are a lot of people today that are blowing off their mouth about something that I might say about the Baptists. Well, bless your soul, there are a lot of them that I was a Baptist before they ever had diapers pinned on them. I walked the aisle for Jesus as a young man up in a Baptist church in Coffee County, Alabama, in a night service, and if it adds anything to it, let me say that there wasn't any electricity in the church building. There was lanterns hanging from the ceiling, and it was an old-time revival service where the Methodist church, which was a quarter of a mile down the road, met together with the Baptist church in revival services, and there was no compromise there. You see, the Methodists back then baptized their people just like the Baptists did. And they all believed the King James Bible was the Word of God. They didn't know there was any other. Are you listening to what I'm saying? This is back in the 30s, and they didn't know there was any such thing as an RSV or ASV, a Moffat or Williams or New English, and I never heard of any argument about the Greek and the Hebrew said, or a better translation would be blah, 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 or any of those things. And that night in that service, I walked that aisle, and I shook that preacher's hand and joined that Baptist church. I later on was baptized in a river, in running water, if that matters to anybody, in a river, and I was baptized by an ordained Baptist preacher, and I'm talking about a missionary Baptist preacher, just in case any of you Baptist brides get the idea that the one that did the baptizing caused it to be alien baptism. And as if that wasn't enough, later on I was given the hand of fellowship, full fellowship into the church by the church group itself, and accepted as a full-fledged member in the Baptist church. And I was raised in that Baptist church. My daddy was a deacon and a charter member in that church, and I've been in the Baptist church off and on all those years. But as if that wasn't enough, back a few years ago, in the early 60s, I knelt down on my knees in the Gadsden Baptist Temple in Gadsden, Alabama, while a group of Baptist preachers, some of them probably wouldn't have anything to do with me today, but this group of fundamental, premillennial Baptist preachers stood around me and put their hands on top of my head, while Brother McQuarters from the Baptist church here in Pensacola said the prayer, and I was ordained as a Baptist preacher. And I'm saying all those things to qualify myself. If I want to criticize the Baptist church, I've been a Baptist all my life. I know what to preach, and I know what to stand for. And bless your soul, I was in the Baptist church when there was a certain Sunday came along that the preacher opened the doors of the Baptist church so members could come in. And there's some of you that are Baptists now, and you never saw that happen. You don't know anything about that. Well, I saw old-time Baptist preachers, after giving an invitation, said, well, today the doors of the church are going to be open, and we'll receive members today. And he gave exactly how they would receive membership in that church. And if you came forward and qualified, you could be a member of the church. If you didn't qualify, you couldn't be a member. You see, folks, when I talk about the Baptists, I'm not just talking through my hat. I'm not some Presbyterian or Methodist that turned from the doctrine that had become liberal and got into the Berean Bible Church or got into the so-called Grace Movement because of the liberality in the church I've been involved in, and don't know what I'm talking about when I talk about Baptists. I know what I'm talking about. I've been a Baptist all my life. My family were Baptists. I married a woman that's a Baptist, and all her family were Baptists and still are. So I know what I'm talking about when I talk about the Baptist church. And I know that as a rule, those that I've run into in the past 20 years don't want to hear about it if it contradicts that traditional teaching that is theirs. Now, back to this issue at hand here in Acts. I want you to notice something about these apostles. For instance, would you turn back with me, please, to Isaiah chapter 8. Isaiah chapter 8. We must understand what's going on in Acts chapter 2. First, I want you to notice that there are 12 apostles there, and these 12 apostles are given a specific ministry. Notice in Isaiah chapter 8. We'll start reading in verse 9, Isaiah 8, verse 9. Associate yourselves, O ye people, you shall be broken in pieces. Give ear, all ye of far countries, gird yourselves, and you shall be broken in pieces. Gird yourselves, and you shall be broken in pieces. Take counsel together, like the United Nations, and it shall come to naught. Speak the word, and it shall not stand, for God is with us. For the Lord spake thus to me with a strong hand, and instructed me, that I should not walk in the way of this people, saying, Say ye not a confederacy to all them to whom this people shall say a confederacy, neither fear ye their fear, nor be afraid. In other words, don't be afraid of that which the nation Israel and the leaders and whatever are afraid of. Verse 13, Sanctify the Lord of hosts himself. Let him be your fear. Let him be your dread. Just like Jesus said, he said, don't be afraid of them that kill the body, and they don't have any more power after that. He said, I'll tell you whom you're to fear. You're to fear him that hath power to kill both, to kill your body and cast both soul and body into hell. He said, fear him. Well, you're to sanctify the Lord, and let him be your fear. Let him be your dread. Verse 14, And he shall be for a sanctuary. That is, to you that put your fear in him, you that believe on him and whatever, he'll be for a sanctuary for you. But for a stone of stumbling, and for a rock of offense to both the houses of Israel, for a gin and for a snare to the inhabitants of Jerusalem. Well, there's no doubt about the passage. The passage is... It goes right up to the first coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, there were those that sanctified the Lord in their hearts. They were those that he became their fear and their dread, and he was their sanctuary. But he also was a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense to both the houses of Israel. And he was a gin and a snare to the inhabitants of Jerusalem. And many among them shall stumble and fall and be broken and be snared and be taken. And they were. So I can date the passage. It has to do with the first coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 16. Bind up the testimony. Seal the law among my disciples. The disciples here are the 12 apostles. Now he called together, according to Luke chapter 6, he called together the disciples, and out of the disciples he chose 12 that he called apostles. Well, these disciples in verse 16 are the apostles. Now all of the apostles are disciples, but not all of the disciples were apostles. But I know about the disciples here, for they match John, the book of John. The book of John, the majority of the book, has to do with that which took place the last two or three days of the ministry of Christ upon earth. In fact, in chapter 12, he goes into the upper room, and he's in the upper room in John 13, 14, 15, 16. He comes out of there, and in chapter 17 is the prayer in the garden. In chapter 18, he's taken, and the trial is in 19, and the crucifixion, and his resurrection in 20, and that which followed in 21. And so the book of John has to do with the glory being revealed to these disciples of Isaiah 8, verse 16, and they're called disciples throughout the book of John. It's seldom ever that John calls them apostles. Now, in verse 17, Isaiah 8, verse 17, And I will wait upon the Lord that hideth his face from the house of Jacob, and I will look for him. All right, it's going to have to do with the time then that he's gone away. And as the passage says, they can't see the sun, S-O-N, the sun for a season. It's a time when Israel is blinded. It's a time when he's gone out of their sight. He's gone up to glory. Verse 18, Behold, I, the Lord himself, and the children whom the Lord hath given me, are for signs and for wonders in Israel from the Lord of hosts, which dwelleth in Mount Zion. In other words, the Lord Jesus Christ came to them and walked among them, and they rejected his ministry. He was crucified, and he went out of their sight. He went up. and he went to Mount Zion in the heavens. And while he's up there, he said, Behold, I and the children that the Lord gave me, they're for signs and wonders in Israel, and that's exactly what the book of Acts is about. The book of Acts is the Acts of the Apostles while they performed the signs and wonders in Israel in an attempt to call Israel to repentance. Crucified the Lord himself. For you see, there could be no salvation for Israel until he died on Calvary. That is, there is no lasting salvation for anybody that believed, that repented and got baptized in Matthew, Mark, Luke, or whatever. It is after his crucifixion, burial, resurrection, and the ascension of the Spirit of God, the coming of the Spirit of God, that's when the salvation is for them. And so the 12 apostles have a ministry of calling Israel to repentance by the power of the Spirit of God after Jesus Christ went up into glory. But lest you might not be satisfied with all that, to identify the passages scripturally, and I believe in comparing scripture with scripture to find the truth, then turn with me, please, hold on to Isaiah 8, and go to John chapter 13. Please observe in Isaiah 8, 18, he said, Behold, I and the children. Well, in John chapter 13, it has to do with the scene in the upper room. In verse 30, Judas Iscariot goes out, hence he's not among the children. Verse 31, Therefore, when he was gone out, Jesus said, Now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God be glorified in him, God shall also glorify him in himself, and shall straightway glorify him. Little children, yet a little while I am with you. And so forth and so on. In other words, he calls the apostles little children. I know that this is the children of Isaiah chapter 8. In fact, I can identify verse 14, Isaiah 8, 14, 15, 16, 17, and 18 with the first coming of Christ. But as if that wasn't enough, notice in Isaiah 8, 18, Behold, I am the children whom the Lord hath given me. Turn to John chapter 17. In John chapter 17. All right, in John chapter 17, verse 1. These words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee, as thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. Notice, has given him. Verse 3, And this is eternal life, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. Well, wait just a minute. He's not died yet. He hasn't died on the cross yet. I always was taught that the work that he came to do was to die on Calvary. And that isn't all. When he's praying this prayer, he still has not gone further into the garden there and fell on his face and prayed, Father, let this cup depart from me, nevertheless not my will but thine be done. None of those things that happened in a 3-hour period there have come to pass yet when he prayed this prayer. But that isn't all. He hasn't gone before the trials yet, that is, the Sanhedrin, Pilate, and Herod, and so forth. He hasn't gone through that yet. Yet he says in the passage in a prayer here, I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. Well, for crying out loud, what was the work that God had given him to do that he had performed up to that point? Well, obviously, that work is the training of 12 men. In other words, God gave him 12 men that he might train those 12 men in view of the day that he was going to be crucified, caught up into heaven, and those 12 men were going to carry on this ministry among Israel after Jesus Christ was gone. He had finished that work. He had trained them and prepared them for that ministry to which they had been called, and now he's getting ready to go away. Notice in verse 6, I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, thou gavest them me. Come to verse 9. I pray for them, I pray not for the world, but for them which thou gavest, hast given me. Come to verse 11, the middle of the verse. Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me. Come to verse 12. I kept them in thy name, those that thou gavest me I have kept. Come to verse 24. Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, so forth and so on. Seven times in John chapter 17, Jesus Christ refers to the 12 apostles as having been given him by God the Father. Go back to Isaiah chapter 8 and notice verse 18 again. Isaiah 8, 18, behold I, and the children whom the Lord hath given me are for signs and for wonders in Israel from the Lord of hosts which dwelleth in Mount Zion. Well, then it's clear. He taught 12 men during the three-year period of his ministry on earth. These men, after he goes up, are going to get the Spirit of God. He's going to send the Spirit of God upon them and in them, and they're going to be for signs and wonders in Israel from the Lord of hosts. Why? Well, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 22. 1 Corinthians 1, 22. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. Turn, please, to Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 2. In Hebrews chapter 2, whoever is writing the book, people say it's Paul, but I don't believe that. Hebrews 2, verse 1. Therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we've heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him, there's the 12, God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders and with divers miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost according to his own will. There's no doubt about it. Jesus Christ came unto Israel. He knew they were going to reject him. God the Father knew they were not going to receive Jesus. And so he gave the Lord 12 apostles. These 12 apostles go through a training period. That training period is in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. That training period is for the ministry that they're going to carry on in his name after he's gone. He's going to die. He's going to be carried up into heaven. He's going to send the Spirit of God into them as the Father sent it into him at the beginning of his ministry, and they are going to be for signs and for wonders in Israel from the Lord of hosts. Why? In an attempt to call Israel to repentance so they can be saved after they had offered the sacrifice by which they could be saved, which is Jesus Christ hanging on the cross. He's the one sacrifice for sin forever. See Hebrews chapter 10. There is no mistaking this. All right then, our book that we're studying, the book of Acts, has to do with the ministry of the apostles. That ministry is a ministry they've been prepared for by the Lord himself. And that ministry is to Israel. It is not to the nations except after Israel gets it. Now then, some other things that I want you to see about this ministry. I want you to notice the commission, that this commission is given to these 12 men. To do that, please take Mark chapter 16, Luke chapter 24, and John chapter 20. Now that'll be Mark 16, Luke 24, and John 20. All right. Now, notice in Mark chapter 16, notice that the day is after his resurrection, Mark 16:1. And when the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of James and Salome had brought sweet spices that they might come and anoint him. And very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came unto the sepulchre at the rising of the sun. Okay, we identify the day. Now, verse 12. After that he appeared in another form unto two of them as they walked and went into the country. And they went and told them of the residue, neither believed they them. We're going to find that in Luke 24, so I can identify the day, there's no doubt about it. Now, verse 14. Afterward, he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat, and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. And he said unto them, Go ye into all the world, and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. Now, the teaching is that this commission was given to the church, and that the church, of course, went forth doing, but that's not true. This is given to the apostles that he had chosen. And of course, in this bunch has to be Matthias. But the Spirit of God in writing this out is very specific. In fact, he's so specific, after it appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat. He's very specific about 11 being there. Somebody say, well, it's because Judas is not there. But that won't do. Now, notice the day. Turn, please, to Luke 24. In Luke 24, verse 1. Now, upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came into the sepulchre. Verse 2, they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre. So I know it's the same day as Mark 16. But that isn't all. You'll notice between verse 13 and verse 29-30 is the same two that are referred to in Mark 16, verse 12. Mark 16:12, he appeared unto two of them as they walked. Well, I find that story about that walk in Luke 24, verses 13 through, well, I'll say 29. Go to Luke 24:29. They constrained him, saying, now they've gotten home now. They said, abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it and brake, gave to them, and their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. All right, he just disappears. And they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures? And they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem, and found the 11, as in Mark 16, gathered together, and them that were with them. Well, then I know that there are at least 13 people in the room. How do I know that? Well, verse 33, there is 11 and them with them. Well, the word them certainly implies more than one, so I know there's at least 13 in there. Well, when the two get in there, that makes at least 15. All right, notice verse 36. As they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and saith unto them, Peace be unto you. But they were terrified and affrighted, and supposed that they had seen a spirit. And he said unto them, Why are you troubled, and why do thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as you see me have. And when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they yet believed not for joy, and wondered, he said unto them, Have you here any meat? And they gave him a piece of a broil fish and a honeycomb, which matches Mark chapter 16. He appeared unto them as they sat at meat. Well, that matches out. Verse 43, and he took it and did eat before them, and he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you. And you'll notice that in verse 46, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. I'm saying that the commission of verse 47 is precisely the same as the commission of Mark chapter 16, verse 15 and 16. In other words, when he said repentance and remission of sins be preached in his name, he's saying go and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. All right. Now, I want you to notice in John chapter 20. In John 20, verse 1, the first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, unto the sepulchre, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre, and then she runs to the others. All right, so I can identify the day, there is no doubt about it, being the same day. Now, verse 19. This is John 20, verse 19. Then the same day at evening. What same day? Well, it's the first day of the week, chapter 20, verse 1. That's the day. The context doesn't change. The same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews. Might get off here just a second. I've heard a brother, a Baptist preacher, teaching here, and he says that the reason that Peter denied the Lord was because that he was angry, and that Peter was not afraid, and that he wanted to fight when they were in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he pulled out the sword and cut off the ear of the high priest's servant and whatever, and that Peter was afraid of nothing or nobody, and that he wanted to fight, and that the Lord wouldn't let him, and therefore, as a result of that, Dr. Ruckman writes in his commentary on Matthew and tells on the radio that as a result of that anger, he denied the Lord, that he was all puffed up and pouting, and that that's what happened to him around that fire when he denied the Lord and cursed. That's nonsense. You can bet your little boots that Peter was afraid. Look in the verse again. John 20, verse 19. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and saith unto them, peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus them again, peace be unto you, as my Father sent me, even so send I you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them, and saith unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins you remit, they are remitted unto them, and whosoever sins you retain, they are retained. And I wouldn't dare get entangled with that passage at this moment. Verse 24. But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. Now hold the phone. If Thomas wasn't there that day and didn't show up until 8 days later, and the passage says that in verse 26, well, then who, pray tell, are the 11 in John 16, verse 14? Well, I'll tell you who they are. They are the 10 plus Matthias, excluding Thomas. No doubt about this. If I can compare Scripture with Scripture to get the truth, then I got the truth on this. Matthias is one of the 12, and Matthias was sent forth with a commission along with the 12, but that isn't all. This commission was not given to 120. This commission was not given to 70. This commission was given to 12. You say, yeah, but Thomas wasn't there. He missed it. Well, Thomas came later, and the Lord dealt with him later, John chapter 20, verse 26 on. No, verse 11 in Mark 16, verse 14 includes Matthias without Judas Iscariot, without Thomas, And this commission is for the apostles whom he had chosen, as he says in Acts chapter 1, verse 1 and 2. Look at the passage again. Acts chapter 1, verse 1, the former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up, after that he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles, 12 of them, whom he had chosen, 12 of them. No doubt about that. The Father gave them to him, he trained them, and he sent them forth with commandments on what to do, where to go, what to do when they get there, and then he sent the Spirit of God into them to empower them to do it after he went back into heaven, there to be signs and wonders in Israel from him which dwelleth in Mount Zion, Acts chapter 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, and so forth.